Original 16 gives you the chance to win one of three Calgary Flames fan experiences. Details in the new limited edition 15 packs of Canadian Pale Ale Original 16. Official beer sponsor of the Calgary Flames. Must be of legal drinking age. No purchase necessary.
And welcome inside Flames Post Game Live. It's brought to you by Original 16. Brendan Parker alongside Ryan Dietrich tonight on a Saturday night and a nice early start, 5 p.m. All of us say thank you for that. And the fans leave here saying thank you to a very entertaining hockey game here tonight. The Calgary Flames and New York Islanders go right to the very distance and eventually need a shootout to decide things here, where eventually the Islanders snap their long losing skid and come out on the victorious side of things. But let's just first kind of get the overall consensus on tonight. And again, I'll speak on my behalf and say full marks to the entertainment side of things. What did you make of what you saw here tonight?
Yeah, just that. I don't know if tonight's going to do anything to quiet some of the conversation that's been going around the league lately about extending overtime, because that was a pretty good session. But as far as theater goes, the shootout delivered too. Unfortunately, obviously, for the wrong side of the Calgary Flames here tonight. But in terms of the first 60 minutes, I mean, for me coming into tonight, the big question was, how is the team going to respond after what was close to a perfect game against the Vancouver Canucks the other night? I think that's at the table for, you know, something to build on coming into tonight. And I think they delivered with another really strong effort. They got some timely goal scoring. The volume, the quality was there all throughout the night. Really, the difference in this one was, you know, some timely mistakes, really, that just ended up in the back of your net. I didn't think there were too many instances where the Islanders had some sustained offensive zone pressure, ironically, until that third period where the Flames actually outscored them. So overall, pretty good effort. You get a point. You would have liked two, but all things considered, a really good effort from the Flames here tonight.
Got to give some marks, some high regard to the Islanders too. I mean, you knew coming in here that finishing up a four-game road trip that's winded its way through Western Canada and then Seattle, that they'd be hungry trying to get one going home. And
for sure,
I think we saw that from them tonight. And Flames did have an answer. They allowed some chances. They had some push, but they did show some fight in terms of clawing back into this game.
Yeah, they did for sure. And for me, it was interesting because just watching the Islanders on this road trip, they've kind of been here in the western part of the country a little bit, obviously in Seattle as well, over the last week. So we've kind of had an up-close opportunity to watch them as before they've arrived here in Calgary. And, you know, goal scoring's kind of been their Achilles heel. They haven't been able to find any of that confidence offensively. And, you know, unfortunately for the Flames, it came at their expense tonight. I didn't think there were too many opportunities where it was because of what the Islanders were doing. I think there were just a couple of little errors that led to some of the offense. And, you know, as Ryan Huska has talked so much about over those last couple of weeks, once you get one to fall, some of that confidence comes back in your game. And we did see that a little bit from them tonight.
Let's go through it, shall we? Take a look at the highlights here tonight. And it'll start all the way back in the first period. And it is a goal from one of the kids, Martin Pospisil, and this was a thing of beauty. The setup from Nazem Kadri with the area pass, and then the finish by Pospisil.
Everybody gets a touch. This starts behind the net. Noah Hanifin, quick up. Connor Zeri, the one touch, but you said it. Nazem Kadri, I love that area pass. He puts it behind the defenseman here. That gives Martin Pospisil, who's got that great speed, a chance to wheel into it, create some chances off the rush, which he's done so well over these last few weeks here.
So Pospisil gets his third of the season, and the Flames were off and running. Unfortunately, they were unable to get out of that first period because shortly thereafter, in fact, with about 3 minutes to play, the Islanders tie it up. Hudson Fashing gets his first of the season. Pretty good shot beating Jacob Markstrom there.
Yeah, and this is one of those little mistakes we were talking about. You can see the Flames had a few chances to clear it. What happens when you fail the two times they did there, it kind of backs the defense up. Everybody's a little bit flat-footed. It gives Fashing a chance to kind of step into it and attack with speed.
So 1-1 after one, and we'll go to the second period where the Islanders start to dictate things a little bit, and it begins on the man advantage. It was just the only power play goal scored by either team, and it was a big one. It gave them a 2-1 lead. Kyle Palmieri ends up depositing this one right in front.
Yeah, not much the Flames could, or Jacob Markstrom rather, could do there. You got two men in front, easy to collect the rebound, but a little bit of a risk there too, taking the shot from the line. You're really just hoping to get it through. It does, and Palmieri has the easy tap in.
And from there, just a few minutes later, this would be one of the miscues that comes on the 4-on-4 situation. The Islanders kind of work it around, but a quick possession change there, and it ends up on the stick of Matthew Barzal right in the slot, who makes no mistake.
It's a tough break for Rasmus Anderson, but you can kind of understand the thinking here. You imagine he's feeling some some of the pressure there on the backside from Bo Horvat. He's trying to make a quick up pass and create some offense there, but, you know, obviously revisionist history, maybe he could have skated that into the corner, lived to fight another day.
So 3-1 at that point, the Islanders lead, but here's where we started to see the turning point, and it's a beautiful play by not only Nick DeSimone, but Jonathan Huberdeau to find him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? We were talking about this as it happened in real time. Nick DeSimone has really impressed in his time here. I love the way he's activating from the blue line. That's an absolute dart. Makes life easy for Blake Coleman on the tap in.
And credit to the fake, because it's kind of that fake to the outside that allows Coleman to be so wide open in front. So that's his team-leading fifth goal of the season. And they weren't done there, because in the third period, this is where we start to see that momentum continue on. And look at the play here from Connor Zary to just wait, and then find Mackenzie Weegar off the back foot who scores.
How many times tonight did we say patience watching Connor Zary just making smart decisions with the puck? You love to see it from a guy who really hasn't played too many games in this league here. He's looking like a guy who's been around for a few years, but these are high-level plays. And, you know, as for the goal, Mackenzie Weegar, you don't see too many back foot one-timers find the back of the net. A little bit of a friendly deflection there in front off Ramon, up, but we'll take it.
Sure, and certainly getting pucks to the net was what they were trying to do the rest of the way, and this was just 20 seconds later, though, and the Islanders with a nice little pinch down low to keep a puck alive, and then a puck that eventually, it actually starts with a post, and then finishes with a friendly rebound off of a deflection in front of the net.
Yeah, we've talked so much. Well, Ryan Huska has as well. That second shift after a goal, what are you able to manufacture and hopefully sustain some of that momentum? I mean, ideally, you would have liked to see the Flames kind of continue that and continue to press offensively. Unfortunately, this time it was the Islanders, and they sapped some of that momentum right back in this game.
So at that point, it's an Islander lead once again, but man, the building was jumping and you could kind of feel it moving back toward the way of the Flames, and then you get one right here, and it's Noah Hanifin, the shot. Igor Sharangovich, he's moving the wrist because he got a little piece of that on its way through.
Noah Hanifin, that's a great shot, by the way. He's got to elevate it over the diving block, but I think what I love about this play, Igor Sharangovich sticks that stick out. Give him a target. Give him just something to find there. And, you know, two of his three goals this year for Sharangovich have been tip-ins. I think we're finding something a little bit in some of his offensive arsenal.
Defense certainly playing another role offensively here tonight. We'll talk more about that later, and we'll also talk about the shootout. Well, maybe the OT first. We won't see any of that here, but that is the game-winning goal delivered there nicely by Oliver Wahlstrom. Had a chance, actually, to make it, I think it was late stages or middle part of the third period there, where it could have been a two-goal lead and maybe lights out for the Flames. Yep. Ends up hitting the post, and either way, the Flames were able to come back. But Wahlstrom ends it in the shootout. A couple of chances for the Flames in the overtime, and we'll get to those in just a moment. First, let's go back inside the locker room and get some reaction here as we welcome you back inside. Nobody's in there yet. Okay, well, let's hold off. Let's talk about then the overtime, because, you know, I think so often, as you mentioned off the top of the show, was the entertainment value of the overtime. And I thought that tonight it kind of had that. You know, you could hear the fans, you know, the standing on their feet, kind of the oohing and the aahing as the chances were going. But take a look at what the Calgary Flames were able to throw at the Islander net in that overtime frame and unable to score a goal. But this is what the looks were for both sides.
You said it, both sides. There really wasn't a dull moment in this overtime. And Martin Pospisil, obviously, here with the breakaway, the best of the bunch. But, you know, I think what's funny about this is, you know, typically in overtime, and we've seen it evolve over the years, odd man rushes have, you know, typically the play that decides it in the extra frame. I think what fascinated me watching this overtime play out, the Flames especially were able to get situations where they trapped guys like Matt Barzell on the ice for some really extended shifts. So we started to see more of a power play type look to things. Lots of puck movement, lots of reloads in the neutral zone. But as you said, both sides getting their looks, and the goalies, Jacob Markstrom, Ilya Sorokin, full marks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we talked about off the top of the show, the pregame show, that is, Ilya Sorokin had dropped 5 consecutive games, but it's not necessarily for a lack of, you know, saves, because he had been busy in those games. Three of those 5 had ended in extra time. So another night like tonight, and I'm sure a little bit of relief on his side of things, but you could just see, you know, the goaltenders equal to the task on both ends of it. And if it's not for Jacob Markstrom, and maybe just as we await to go back inside the locker room, maybe just focus on Jacob here, because there was a sequence there in the third period, as we mentioned, where, you know, this game could have gone another 2-goal lead late, and then, you know, maybe it doesn't go back the other way. But it, Markstrom makes about 5 or 6 in the middle part of that period to allow the Flames to get back stable on their feet, and then it started to make their push. later in the period.
Yeah, right before the tying goal, too, to survive that sequence. And, it was interesting because I didn't get the final tally, but looking late in the third period, the high-danger chances at 5-on-5 were 10-2 for the Islanders in that period. So a total flip of the script from the second where, the Flames were applying most of the pressure but ended up getting outscored. It was vice versa in that third period. The Flames ended up finding the back of the net, but the Islanders were stymied by the goaltender at the other end. And, as we were watching this play out, this wasn't just a volume issue. These were some high-quality looks that they were generating. You mentioned Wahlstrom getting the post, too, that really would have been curtains for the evening. So, again, Jacob Markstrom's been one of their best players all year. I think in some ways we shouldn't be surprised at the level he's playing at right now, but these are the situations. Get good goaltending at prime opportunities in the game. It can get you points in the standings, and it certainly did tonight.
Yeah, it certainly did, and, those are the ones where you look back, and, a game that you're trailing had to kind of fight back a couple of times. That those are the types of points that can allow you to climb the standings just a little bit. And while they did want the two, they'll end up taking the one and now head back out on the road. Four straight on the road, which we know this has been a daunting schedule for the month of November, and it will continue as they head out first in Seattle and then through the Central Division after that. Let's shift our focus a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more about the D-men, because I think obviously they figured prominently through that highlight pack, yeah. But really have. I think it's 8 goals now over the last 8 games that have come from defensemen. Maybe there's one empty netter in there, I think, but for the most part, it's not just the goals too, it's keeping plays alive. And I think as we saw here tonight, just kind of getting pucks through to the net that has allowed this team to produce a little bit more offensively, and it has started with the D.
I think you can see it's starting to give everybody a little bit of a lift on that bench too, because for a good portion of the first start of the season here, I think we were talking about how a lot of pressure were on the forwards, trying to find some line combinations, a lot of scrutiny on individuals. But when you've got an active group of defensemen that are not only threats, as we saw from Mackenzie Weegar tonight from the point, in that clip right there, he can also be useful off the rush and join in and, be able to create those layers off the rush as well. So, a guy like, we saw Noah Hanifin factor in on the tying goal, but Mackenzie Weegar to me is one of the most fascinating cases, because all of last season he put up 4 goals. He's got that many in, 16, 17 games already this season. So you can feel the confidence in those guys growing in every game too. And, if the Flames are going to be able to climb back in the race here and become a playoff threat, obviously that's going to factor in here, because this is an offense by committee type of organization right now.
And we mentioned it on that play, but a guy like Nick DeSimone, I think Mackenzie Weegar talked about the impact that he's been able to make since drawing into the lineup. And there has been some opportunity. It's one thing that Craig Conroy talked about right at the start of the year, is that there would be chances for guys to get into the lineup, and then it'd be on them to earn those positions. And isn't that really playing out right now? Whether it's 100%. Harry or whether it's Pospisil, these guys are making a difference. And then Mackenzie Weegar yesterday talked about a guy like Nick DeSimone, who came in there. He's a right shot, seems to fit really well, moves his feet really well. He's really seized this chance. He's got 4 assists now, and his worker thought maybe for a half a second there that he might have had his first NHL goal.
Blake Coleman was throwing us off. Yeah, we weren't quite sure there. Part of me, Brendan, wonders if the play of a guy like Nick DeSimone rubs off on some of the veterans like Mackenzie Weegar, because we're seeing some of the elements in Nick DeSimone's game come into some of the others, jumping up, being a little bit more active along the walls, and especially after Mackenzie gets that goal in that third period, his game seemed to change radically at that point. All of a sudden, he's involved in every offensive opportunity. He's firing from the points. He's stepping up, just trying to feed his teammates in front, too. So, you talk about confidence. I feel like you get one to go, or you make a good play, you're getting involved offensively, it just starts to give you a little bit of a jump for the rest of the night.
Yeah, no question. I haven't been able to tally it all up tonight, but certainly a handful from the back end once again this evening. We're having a little bit of a technical challenge when it comes to hearing from live in the locker room, that is. But we will wait for head coach Ryan Huska in just a moment. And then in the meantime, just to circle back on a conversation that started here yesterday on the desk with Blake Coleman. Got a chance to talk to him just about the ongoing. So they had a pair of assists, and obviously that goal from Jonathan Huberdeau that became, such a big talking point. You could tell how much it meant to him. The ovation the fans gave him, just a great moment here on Thursday night in the win over Vancouver. But, a lot of it comes back to that line and Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman, who have been effective almost every single night and kind of helped what set up that goal. Let's just listen to Blake Coleman talk a little bit about that line briefly, and then we'll touch on the line itself.
Our line being nothing sexy, but he adds a little bit of sex to the line, and it was a great finish. And
it sure was.
So that was the line from Blake Coleman there, and well said. I thought that was just outstanding because it's so true. You watch the finish of Jonathan Huberdeau, and that was the little bit of the sexy he's talking about. And then tonight, we just saw elements of it and the confidence from number 10 there. And obviously, this line just goes right back to work. He talked about it, you know, the not being sexy thing was all about just the work. That it's always about the work. It's about the forecheck. It's about the physicality. That's always going to be there with this group. And as he said, Huberdeau's brought in, and now you're seeing it on the offensive side to go with it.
Oh, you sure are. You know, what struck me tonight about a guy like Jonathan Huberdeau, and you said the word there, confidence. I mean, there were so many different situations tonight where he had the puck under pressure situations. He was feeling some of that backside pressure. Checkers were, you know, trying to make a play on him in some of the more dangerous areas of the ice. But he took that extra second. And for me, that made all the difference because earlier on this season, there was some criticism levied his way about, you know, maybe hurrying some of his plays and turning the puck over. That wasn't the case tonight. He's a really highly skilled player, and I think this has been his calling card his entire career. Hang on to pucks, create some open space for yourself and your teammates. We saw that tonight, and it led to, we just saw a whole bunch in that highlight pack. You're springing your players offensively, and obviously when you play with a guy who's as responsible as Michael Backlund, maybe Blake Coleman doesn't bring the sexy, but he certainly brings some of the jam. I think it's a pretty good mix.
Selling himself short a little bit, too, though.
I think so.
Great line, though, and we'll use it. We're going to run with that one for a long time. Had a chuckle with that. always well delivered by our man, Colsey. I think we are going to hear from the coach here coming up shortly. We got Huss coming in here, guys? Not yet. Okay, so we'll wait. Husk, I think I did see him make his way down to the podium. Again, we had some technical challenges with the dressing room, so we're unable to get our regular live feed from the locker room, so that's unfortunate. We'll get to those a little bit later. Obviously, you can check them out on our platforms, CalgaryFlames.com, on Twitter, or wherever else you get your news feed. But let's listen into the head coach now. He is at the podium, and here is head coach Ryan Huska.
Questions for the coach? Coach, can you explain your mindset behind putting Pospisil on in overtime?
He was one of the drivers for us in the game offensively. Like that line, again, when they were on the ice, they were creating. So, you know, give him a chance, I guess, is the way you look at it. There's something he's feeling really good about his game right now. And unfortunately, he had that opportunity. It would have been great if he would have finished. But he deserved to be out there.
Do you sense that the confidence in this group is growing? Blake kind of alluded to guys are stepping on the ice expecting to make plays, and maybe that wasn't the case a few weeks ago. Do you see that confidence growing over the past little bit?
Yeah, it's when you get results. I think everybody feels better about themselves for sure, and we've been able to string some points together here over the last little while, and we have to find a way to continue it, but find a way to get that extra on like we needed tonight.
I know you'd rather not battle back in games, but is it still a nice feature to see from your team that they have resilience?
Yeah, no quit. I thought as the game went on, we continue to get better and better too. If you give us a little bit more time, I think we probably end up winning in regulation, but that's the way it goes. Yeah.
How did you feel your team played in overtime in terms of the strategy you were trying to deploy?
There's some moments for sure. I mean, we had our chances, right? And they had their chances too. I think more often than not you see in overtime, it's more calculated. You don't see as many end-to-end situations anymore because one team, once they win the faceoff, they usually keep it for three quarters of overtime. So, we get our chances. You have to find a way to finish at the end of the day. That's kind of what it comes down to.
With what you've seen with shootouts, this never-ending story of shootout losses, I'm sure you've thought about what could, can you just have a practice where everybody just takes penalty shots for 2 hours? Like, is there? And I'm assuming you're trying to do more things to address it.
Yeah, I mean, we've put shootouts in a lot of our practices this year, and we'll continue to do that. But Sharon Govich has a skill set. Like, he's a shootout type player. He's got a great skill set. We don't have a ton of guys that have his skill set. We have working skill, if you want to call it. So you have to find a way to capitalize again before you get into the shootout, I guess is what it would come down to.
Right. And I think Blake Coleman probably fits that working skill that you talk about. Probably people probably expect him to be leading the team in goals at this juncture, but what have you seen continually out of Blake so far?
From the beginning of the year, probably him and Bax have been our Tanev have been our guys that are, I feel like, driving the bus a lot in regards to managing the room the right way. So Blake doesn't wear a letter on his chest, but he most definitely is in our leadership group. And I think he's taking that to heart this year. He's feeling good about where he's at right now health-wise. And he's been consistent. There was one tough game 2 games ago, and I think it was in Montreal, if I'm not mistaken. But you can't really think of too many more games where he hasn't been one of our better forwards in regards to how he's playing the game. So his skill is most definitely working skill, but he's taking a lot of pride in that right now.
Ryan, what do you need to see from your power play to get it going in the right direction?
It's slow right now, so they have to speed things up. Really, at the end of the day, you speed it up, move the puck quick, shoot the puck, and get rebounds. Like right now, we're slow and methodical, so we have to make some improvements there for sure.
What do you do to reinforce that mindset of playing fast when you realize your power play is not playing at the pace it should be?
Yeah, you show them. I mean, you talk to them a lot. You keep working on it. Like, it's something that we put in practice again all the time as well. So, you know, you have guys out there that should be power play players, and that's the area that they want to grab hold of the game. It will come. I feel like our 5-on-5 game has gotten significantly better over the last little while. Usually the last thing to follow will be the power play, so I'd assume it'll start getting going here shortly.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Original 16 gives you the chance to win one of 3 Calgary Flames fan experiences. Details in the new limited edition 15 packs of Canadian Pale Ale. Original 16, official beer sponsor of the Calgary Flames. Must be of legal drinking age, no purchase necessary.
All right, welcome back inside Flames Post Game Live. It is brought to you by Original 16 as we put a wrap on a Calgary Flames 5-4 loss at the hands of the New York Islanders. 2-game homestand, they get 3 out of a possible 4 points and points in 6 of their last 7 games. So here we stand now looking ahead to another 4 on the road. And, you know, maybe just first before we get to those, let's just pick up on what Ryan Huska was talking about. I think it kind of sets up from our clip very nicely about the working skill and how you see it in now the club's leading goal scorer, Blake Coleman.
Well, number one, point per game player in the last 6 games, that's not a bad feather in your cap. So yeah. The offense is coming, but as Ryan Huska said, it's all due to the hard work that he's being put in. And, you know, it's interesting. What's the one, you know, carrot that a coach can dangle in front of his players? You can either give or take away ice time.
Yeah.
He's earning it right now. He played north of 18 minutes tonight, too, which is, you know, right up there with some of, you know, Elias Lindholm was just over 19. So
sure.
There was once a time when this was far more of a discrepancy. In terms of Blake's play, though, I mean, he's doing it in every area. You know, we're seeing some of the goal scoring. We're seeing some of the offense. Tonight was a little bit of a tap-in, but over this past week, we've seen a couple of, you know, plain snipes. Nashville, he goes top shelf.
Yeah.
The other night, like, these are high-skill plays.
That's right. That one-timer off the rush, yeah.
Yeah.
Earlier this season.
It makes you wonder how much more is there, because this is a guy throughout his career has been known as, you know, the third line checking, the grinder guy, the guy who's going to work the corners and dig it out, set it up for some of the skill players. But he's playing on a unit now, where, as we talked about, all 3 of those elements exist, but they can all interchangeably kind of get each other going. So I think we're seeing a little bit too, and this kind of goes back to our Huberto discussion. We're seeing him mucking it up in the corners a little bit as well. So guys are finding different ways to contribute offensively. In Blake's case, I love what Ryan Huska highlighted there, because with him, it does entirely start with hard work. That's who he's been throughout his career. And as a member of the Calgary Flames, you know, a player that I think fans can really get behind, because he brings that honest effort every night, and we're seeing some of the results of it right now.
And starts with the leadership, obviously, by Michael Backlund, Chris Tanev, and Blake Coleman, as we just discussed and heard from there from head coach Ryan Huska. All right, let's as we wrap things up here on this Saturday night, we want to get out of here early. It's a nice 5 p.m. start. We don't have to wait until midnight to close the shop up. 4-game road trip upcoming. It's going to wind its way through the Central Division, but not before a trip to another trip to Seattle. How does this team kind of maintain what they have started to establish now over the past 7?
Well, it's fascinating, because you look ahead at this schedule. You start in Seattle, then you go to Nashville. That's not anywhere close to Seattle, so there's going to be a travel day in between. Then you head over to Dallas and Colorado. This is a 4-game road trip where the Flames are only going to have 1 practice outside of morning skates. So kind of a little bit of a wrench thrown into their usual routine. But interestingly enough, it all starts with the next one, the Seattle Kraken. They're starting to find their way a little bit too. Big win over this Islanders team just a couple of nights ago. So we've seen what they can play with. They play with a lot of pace, similar to the Vancouver Canucks that we saw the other night. You got to get going there. you have to make hay early in this trip. Not to say any game is, you know, going to be an easy one, but certainly at the end of that trip, a couple of Stanley Cup contenders and the Dallas Stars and Colorado Avalanche waiting for you in a back-to-back scenario. Yeah. Bank your points now, head into those cities, and bring your best effort because you're going to need it all four games.
American Thanksgiving will surpass or at least pass us by as that road trip winds its way through Dallas and then eventually, as you talked about, Colorado to finish it off. But that'll do it for us, and this homestand comes to an end here this evening. We'll say late afternoon start time ends early evening, and it is an Islanders shootout win. They snap their seven-game losing skid. Thanks to the extra session, and the Calgary Flames get three out of a possible 4 points on this two-game homestand. Now it is back out on the road, four straight away from the Saddle Dome and away from comfy Calgary as it begins in Seattle on Monday night. The next home game for the Calgary Flames will come your way on November the 27th. That's when they welcome in the defending Stanley Cup champions, the Calgary Flames and Vegas Golden Knights. Thanks for watching Flames Postgame Live, brought to you by Original 16. Signing off from the Scotiabank Saddledome. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.